Bibles tonight, if you'll turn to the book of Mark, please. Mark chapter number 9. I know I'll need them. I want to begin reading tonight, verse number 14. So when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground, wallowing, foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out, and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead. Insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could we not cast him out? And he said unto them, This kind cometh forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Now I'll leave off reading there. I want to preach on this subject tonight, on what to do while you wait. What to do while you wait. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you now for the opportunity and the privilege, Lord, to open your blessed book. Now I pray now that you'd give me great liberty to preach. I pray, God, that you'd help me and help my mind. I pray that you'd order my thoughts and order my words. And we'll be careful to give you the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but I never have been one to like to wait. Amen. I don't like to wait on nothing. I don't like to wait in line. And so I got to thinking about it and dwelling on this passage of Scripture. And one of the things that drives me real crazy is if I'm supposed to meet somebody and they don't show up when they're supposed to be there. Amen. So sometimes God don't show up just exactly when we think he ought to show up. Amen. And so I began to think about what we ought to be doing while we're waiting on him to come back. Amen. And I believe the first thing that we ought to do is I believe we ought to be adoring him. Amen. While we're waiting, let us adore him. And the Bible said there in verse number 14, when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about him, and with the scribes questioning with them, and straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, they saluted him. Amen. And I think that's what we need to be doing. We need to be adoring the Lord. Amen. Hey, when you're in love with somebody, you don't mind waiting for them. Amen. Hey, it don't matter if you have to wait years, months, you don't mind waiting. When you're really in love with somebody, you don't mind waiting on them. Amen. And so I'm saying that you and I, while we're waiting around, we ought to love him. Amen. We ought to adore him. We ought to adore him for his deity. The Bible said in Matthew 1:23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Hey, we ought to love him for who he is. He was God incarnate in the flesh. He left the throne rooms of heaven, laid down his princely garments, and took upon him this wicked flesh that he might have a way that you and I could be redeemed to God. And we ought to adore him for what he did. Well, not only we ought to adore him for his deity, but we ought to adore him for his determination. He said in Isaiah 50 and verse number 7, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. Hey, I tell you, we ought to adore him because I like the old song that says he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. Hey, you and I, his own creation, spit on him and smote him and beat him and despised him. And we ought to adore him because he set his face like a flint, and knowing what was going to happen, he did it anyway. Amen. Well, then we ought to adore him for his delight. The Bible said in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hey, what was joyful about the crucifixion? What was joyful about being beat? I tell you what was joy. And the whole time he was hanging on the cross, it said he did it with joy. And I believe looking down through the eons of time, he saw a day when a boy would come down a sawdust floor, kneel in an old-fashioned tabernacle just like this, and cry out to God for mercy and get saved by his glorious grace. Amen. So we ought to adore him because he delights in us. Well, not only should we let us adore him while we wait, but let us admit him while we wait for his return. Look at verse number 23. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Let me say tonight that you can be free if you want to be free. We got a bunch of people in our day and time that love their sin and they're bound to it, and they simply don't want to be free. Amen. But there is a door of freedom. Amen. He said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Hey, we need to realize that there's a lot more to salvation than just being saved. Hey, there's more than just having life. He wants us to have abundant life. Amen. Hey, he told Cain, if thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? And now, if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Let me say that this door of freedom is the door of salvation. Amen. Hey, God put Noah in that ark, and there was just one way in and one way out. Amen. And the Bible said he built that ark to the saving of his family. And I believe it's a great picture of salvation. Hey, I was talking to a guy the other day. He said, I don't believe in hell. I said, do you believe in heaven? He said, oh, yeah. I said, well, the Bible talks twice as much about hell as it does heaven. I said, if you're going to have one, you have to have the other. He said, well, I don't believe God would put anybody in hell. I said, he destroyed this earth one time with water. And the next time he destroys it, it's going to be with fire. Amen. But God put him in that ark. Hey, let me say that God shut the door. Hey, and I can tell you why God shut it. Because when them people that Noah had been preaching to began to beat on the side of that ark and say, let us in, I believe Noah might have opened that door. Hey, when they began to say Noah, if you won't save us, save our children, he might have opened the door of that ark. But I'm telling you, God shut the door and nobody else is going to get in. And there's coming a day when God's mercy is going to run out and he's going to shut the age of grace and your opportunity is going to be over. Amen. It's a door of salvation. Not only a door of salvation, but it's a door of security. The Bible said, he shutteth and no man openeth. Hey, I'm glad I ain't got a hope so. I ain't got to hang on. I ain't got to hold out. Huh? I told my church last week, we're worse than the mafia. Once you get in, you ain't getting out. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, I'm glad that we are secure in him. It's not anything that I'm doing. It's not anything I've done. It's what he did on the cross when he said, it is finished. Amen. Well, not only is it a door of freedom, but let me say it's also a door of fellowship. He said in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Hey, let me say there's more to it than just having a church service. If we'll let him, he'll do what we've been doing this week. He'll go up to the dining hall and sit around and talk to us and fellowship with us. That's what he desires. He desires to fellowship with his people. Amen. Hey, I like church. I like to hear preaching. I like to be in the house of God. But I'm telling you, there's times when I need the fellowship just as bad as I need the preaching. Amen. And if we'll let God, he'll fellowship with us. Amen. The door of fellowship. Well, I'm talking about we have to be willing to admit him. Hey, if you don't let him, he won't. He's not going to kick your door in. But if you'll open the door, he'll fellowship with you. It's a door of freedom. It's a door of fellowship. But then it's a door of friendship. He said in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 18, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Amen. Hey, you don't have to worry about him leaving you when things get rough. Hey, I haven't always been faithful to him, but he has always been faithful to me. Never one time has he failed me. Never one time has he let me down. I serve a faithful God. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friend. So I'm simply saying that it's a strong door. Amen. Hey, Not only is it a strong door, but it's a solid door. I don't like these hollow core doors they got. Nowadays, ain't nothing to them. Amen. I like them big old thick, solid oak doors. Amen. That has substance. Hey, let me say that he he is all in all. Amen. He's a solid door. He's a solid foundation. Hey, he's a sure door. If you'll step through the door, friend, and let him, amen. Hey, you can count on it. He'll do what he said, amen. Well, what to do while we wait? I see a third thing. Let us acknowledge him. We have to believe on him. We have to admit him, but then we have to acknowledge him. Verse number 24. Straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Huh? We have to get to the place where we are willing to acknowledge him. Amen. Hey, we can walk by. He can be standing right there. And we can walk by and we can never give him a second thought. And pass by when he's standing right there, waiting to fellowship with us, waiting to befriend us, waiting to help us. But if we never acknowledge his presence, if we never acknowledge his presence, hey, I tell you what I believe. I believe sometimes he's standing there talking to us, saying, why don't you talk to me? I'm right here. Why don't you speak to me? And we fail to acknowledge his presence. There's going to come a point in time when we're going to have to do some things. First of all, you're going to have to deal with him. If you're lost, there'll come a point in time when you're going to have to make up your mind that he is God or he's not God, that he is who he says he is and that he can do what he says he can do, or you're going to have to turn and walk away, but you're going to have to deal with him. If you're a Christian, sooner or later, you're going to have to deal with him. Because salvation is not where it ends at, it's where it begins at. Amen. James said in James 2:19, thou believest that there is one God, thou dost well. The devils also believe and tremble. Hey, belief without trust, that's what they have. Not belief about him or in him, but belief on him. We're living in a day and time where if you ask anybody, they'll tell you they believe there was a man named Jesus. They believe out about him. Hey, you may even get them to admit that they believe that he was a great prophet. Hey, they may even say that he was God. That's belief in him. The devils believe in him. But that's not good enough. You must believe on him. That you put him on the cross, that he died for your sins, that you need a Savior. You must believe on him. Well, then you must decide about him. Not only must you deal with him, but you must decide about him. Matthew 27:22, Pilate said unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ? And that's still the question today. What are you going to do with him? If he speaks to you, what are you going to do with him? Huh? Hey, if he speaks to you about an area of your life, what are you going to do with him? Are you going to open the door and admit him? Are you going to acknowledge that he's talking to you? I'm afraid a lot of us have got to the point where we treat Jesus like we treat our wives. We have selective hearing. We hear what we want to. I think Miss Thompson just broke two of Brother Doug's ribs. Wham! Amen. We have selective hearing. Hey, our children are the same way. They have selective hearing. Now, you can help tune them in
by applying the board of correction to the seat of instruction. You can improve their hearing. Amen.
Decide about Him. Then we ought to delight in Him. I don't know about you, but I like it when He shows up. Amen. Hey, I want to delight in Him when He's around. Hey, I've been preaching on worship at the church. Hey, I believe that we ought to give Him the honor and the glory due His name. Amen. Well, let us acknowledge Him. And then let us accompany Him. Accompany Him. Look at verse number 27. Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. Not only do we have to acknowledge that He is there, but then we have to be willing to let Him take us by the hand and let Him go and us go with Him wherever He goes. Amen. Hey, have you ever seen a little kid, you try to take their hand and they go, "I'm big enough, I can walk by myself." That's how a bunch of Baptists is acting. Huh? "I don't need you, I'm big enough, I can make it on my own." Quit shaking your... Get away from me. He ain't got a lick of sense. Hey, we have to accompany Him. Hey, we have to be willing to go along with Him where He's going. Amen. I don't know about you, but it was a glad day in my life when I got in step with Him, Brother Biddle. Instead of trying to walk my own way, I started walking how... Hey, my life became a lot easier when I started walking how He wanted me to walk and started following Him, Brother AC, where He wanted me to go. Huh? Hey, I tell you what we want to do. We want to find our path, and then we want to take Him by the hand and let Him follow us. It don't work that way. We need to let Him take us by the hand, and we need to get in step with Him and follow Him where He's leading us. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm interested in following Him to a dwelling. Amen. It'd be all right with me if He'd come back right now. Amen. We need to follow Him not only in a dwelling, but we need to follow Him what He's doing. Hey, the Bible said in Acts 26:18, God saved Paul, and now he's testifying. He said to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Hey, I'm saying that you and I need to get with God's program instead of trying to get God to get with our program. Amen. I'm interested in what He's interested in. Brother Twitty, I'm interested in going where He's going. I'm interested in doing what He wants to do. It's kind of like being married. I say to my wife, "Where you want to eat at?" "Wherever you want to eat." That's what we need to be with God. When He says, "What do you want to do?" "Whatever you want to do, Lord, we're willing." Huh? Well, let us accompany Him. And then we ought to await Him. He said in verse number 28, when He was coming to the house, His disciples asked Him privately, "Why could we not cast Him out?" And He said unto them, "This kind cometh forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." Hey, I wonder how many of us are really looking for Him tonight. I thought about it when Brother Doug was preaching the other night about the prodigal son. I read that text probably hundreds of times, and it dawned on me one day. I never had seen it before. But the Bible said when that son was a great way off, that the father saw him. Hey, that means he was looking for that boy. Hey, I believe he sat out there every evening and looked down that road waiting for that boy's return. And that's how you and I ought to be with Him. And we ought to be looking for Him. Amen. Expecting Him. Well, let me say, Sixthly, that we need to adventure for Him. If you read on down in our text in verse number 34, it said, but they held their peace. Jesus is talking to them. They had disputed among themselves. It said they held their peace, by the way, for they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And He sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Hey, I'm talking about why we're waiting. Why don't we do something to occupy our time? Huh? When you have to sit around and do nothing, it wears me out worse than if my mind's occupied. Hey, instead of sitting around worrying about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, hey, I want you to understand. I don't care if God shows up when I'm preaching, or when Brother AC's preaching, or when Brother Biddle's preaching, or when the Tacketts are singing. I don't care when He shows up. I just want Him to show up. Amen. Hey, but if we're not doing the preaching, or we're not doing the singing when He shows up, we sit there like a bump on a pickle and say, just wait until I get up there. Or why didn't they shout while I was preaching? I don't care when He shows up. I just want Him to show up. Hey, I'll tell you why we're not seeing great things done for Him. We're not attempting to do anything great. My daddy always told me, can't never could do nothing. Huh? How do you know you can't do it until you try? Huh? I want to adventure great things for God. Hey, I want to try to do something for Him while I'm waiting on Him. I don't want to just be, hey, I don't want to be caught sitting down on the job when the boss comes back. You ever seen somebody that's just sorry, good for nothing, lazy? We got a bunch of them around in our days and time. And as soon as my brother's in construction, runs a couple of construction crews, and as long as he's standing right there, or his foreman's standing right there on the job, guess what? Them fellas will work. But there have been many of the time when they've been gone, and I pulled up on the job, and they're sitting down. I'm afraid that's what we're doing. Well, it's close to the last days. The Lord's coming back. It's a lot more wicked now than it was in Billy Sunday's day. And that's why we're not trying to get anybody saved, because they had it easier than we did. Hey, I may not get much done, but I'm going to do what I can while I'm waiting around. Amen. I had a guy tell me one time, he said, I don't like the way you witness. I said, well, that's fine. I said, we're going right down the road to this next house. I said, you can show me how it's done. He said, oh, no. I said, then shut up. If you don't want to show me how to do it, and you just going to complain about how I'm doing it, just keep your mouth shut. Amen. I'm saying we are to adventure. Hey, I'm telling you, the greatest adventure that we can have is the adventure of the Christian life. There's never a dull moment serving God. Hey, let me say this. You just don't have to be in church to have a great adventure. I've been driving down the road and had to pull over to the side of the road because it gets plumb foggy. Huh? Hey, God's let me go places and see things, talk to people. I remember witnessing this old boy one time. Had his hair spiked straight up on top of his head about that high, five different colors. I had never seen nothing like that. So when I got out of the car, I said, hey, man. I said, can I take your picture? He said, sure. His girlfriend's about as bad as he was. Both of them looked like they'd fell in a tackle box, stuff hanging out all over the place. So after I took his picture, I got talking to him about the Lord. And now he said, preacher, you ain't going to believe this. He said, but God's been talking to me.
I told him, I said, I'm going up the road to preach a meeting. He said, preacher, that's where I live at. So I said, when I find out where the church is at, I said, I'll call you. And I did, called him, gave him directions. Hey, I've had that happen thousands of times where nobody ever showed up. But Sunday night, here this dude come walking into church, man. 5 foot high spikes, 5 colors, stuff hanging out of his face everywhere. He came walking in the back door of the church. Everybody in church went. And then I went, hey, come on up here and sit with me. Their eyes got about that big around. But it was a great adventure seeing God work in his life. And along about Thursday, that old boy got born in the family of God. Amen. You understand what I'm telling you? It's a great adventure serving Jesus. Well, it's time to quit. Let me give you this last one. We ought to adorn him. Hey, the Bible said in Romans 13, put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We ought to put him on when we get up. Amen. Amen. And not make any provision for our flesh. I don't know about you, but there's some things I want to be found doing when he comes back. What to do while you wait. Don't just sit around. Hey, don't sit around when you're a teenager and wish your life away. You don't have to wait till you get old to do something for God. You can do it now. Come on, preacher, I'm done.